gives regenerating grace to dead alien sinners at his will.
Amen.
That's the doctrine of it. They say it has nothing to do with God even making you willing. It has to do with God giving you something even before you're willing.
Exactly.
It's the what he gives you that makes you willing.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. I mean, even how little people know about what they profess to know.
Exactly.
You know, because irresistible grace is the truth. But it has nothing to do with the preaching of the gospel. That's not what the irresistible part is of the grace is. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. Roy Jr. had his surgery. I guess most everybody knows that now. But he's still got a lot of pain. And, he's having to do his exercises and all. But he can get around. Now, somebody said, Mary call you?
Mm-hmm.
But she wrote me sent me a Christmas card and said she wouldn't be here a couple weeks because they were going to go. But I thought when I heard you say that.
Yeah, she said if I don't make it, she said I chickened out.
Oh, okay.
She said they had a lot of ice at Glade Springs.
Right.
And I told her this road was in pretty good shape, but she doesn't like to drive
Right, right. Well, I understand.
The roads are bad.
But I may have misunderstood her Christmas card. You read it too, didn't you, Paul? But she may mean like next Sunday or something too. Since she knew she wouldn't be here because they were going to be going to see him family and everything. So when I heard you say that, though, I was hoping maybe we'd see her this morning. Also, the dinner, we will wait and do the dinner the first Sunday of next month. Because Christmas is Saturday. Lord willing, we'll still have service Sunday. But, you know, all of us are probably got this to do and that to do and, you know, travel here or there or whatever, so it's kind of difficult trying to get stuff prepared. So we'll just wait, and we'll have after New Year. Just don't get drunk and not be able to make it to church. Just so you can, it's not just so you don't make it to church, but.
I was wondering about that part.
Yeah. Now, I'm not giving you a dispensation to get drunk as long as you make it to church. also, of course, the guy did plow the parking lot, but he ran out of
salt
to put on it. But David, he said he has cancer, metastasized to his liver, I guess.
Yeah, but he's got people in four states praying for him.
So. Does he? Well, he's got more than I do then.
Yeah.
I figure.
He prayed we don't make it.
But anyway, if something does happen, he's not allowed, able to. Maybe we need to, get a hold of him, David, if you can. You've talked to him and just ask him if he can't, for somebody he, kind of trusts. Because he did a good job last year, And he's not really all that expensive. I mean, compared to what we heard there last year, he's not charging us all that much.
I forget what he's charging, but everybody else wanted $100 to $150
yeah.
bucks.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was right at $50, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, $75 with salt.
$75 with the salt, and that's you can't beat that.
We splurged.
Yeah. But another thing too, we might mention to him, David, if you do get a chance to talk to him, that even if they don't have salt, if somebody he knows just come here and throw some pea gravel or something up and down the driveway. We pay them for that too. If we're going to have service, it's a little easier so you can get
little
traction.
He cleaned it off the last couple of weeks.
Right, right. Even when we didn't
have service.
Right, well, the other roads
were bad.
Yeah. But just remember that. But when we need somebody to keep that plowed, because if we just keep letting it go, then it gets a big sheet of ice. And then we do have trouble. Because I know that last year that was our problem for a while. It snowed, but it quit snowing, but it was so much snow and we hadn't had it plowed. He had a time with first go around. Was it Saturday, wasn't it, when we was here that time?
Yeah.
And he had a rough time plowing at that time. And still just charged us the $50 or whatever. So, all right, is there anything else I need to mention? That's about it, ain't it? Everybody else is relatively healthy. All right, Joe, you can start that, or Paul, whoever's got it. If you're following along, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Now, 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, I basically left off out of John chapter 6, where our Lord Jesus Christ, quoting the Old Testament, says, "And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me."
Amen.
And I talked about what it means to come to Christ, but I want to kind of back up, because we have, it has been, this is a couple Sundays we didn't get to meet. I want to back up and I want to continue to examine three phrases that Paul gives that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's in verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. Now these three statements are equal statements. Two of them's almost exactly alike. The statements are this, verse 5, "Even as the Lord gave to every man." The second statement is in verse 6, "But God gave the increase." The third one is in verse 7, which is almost exactly like the one in verse 6, "But God that giveth the increase." These three verses basically, Mason, teach the same truth, but they're said in slightly different ways, and there's reason why it's said in slightly different ways. Now, basically, Paul is expressing this truth, and it is something that you, every one of us here, has heard over and over and over again, and the person who said it was Jonah, that Paul is expressing this truth: salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is more than just a cliche.
Yeah.
And it's more than just some simplified doctrinal statement. It's basically Jonah's expression that if anyone is ever saved, or all who are saved,
yes,
it is the Lord God Almighty that did it.
Amen.
All credit goes to God.
Yes.
And it goes to God in deed.
Yeah.
That is, in action as well as in word.
Amen.
We're not just giving God credit because that's the nice thing to do. You see.
Yeah.
We're not giving God credit because, well, he basically does the most of it.
Yeah.
You see. We're giving God credit because God alone is the one that can do it.
Amen.
And notice Paul says this in connection with what men do. Right? It's in connection with what men do. So let's read those three verses again. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Now he doesn't now answer the question. He will. But he doesn't answer the question. He makes then a statement. He said, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed." Now that's a partial answer.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the answer is this. Verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything."
Amen.
"Neither he that watereth." Now yes, it is by but ministers by whom ye believed. But yet no credit goes to the minister. Right? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Here's the truth. They're ministers by whom you believed, but they're nothing.
Amen.
They're nothing. And as it states, they're not anything. That's just another way of saying they're nothing. Right? They're nothing. Who is then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. But then he states the fact. I should say, not just the fact, Joe, but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even as the Lord gave to every man.
Yes.
Now, I believe this is an all-inclusive statement, but yet I believe what Paul is specifically saying is every person who's believed, God gave it to them to believe.
Amen.
But God has also ordained who we're going to be hearing when we believe.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
This is not just willing. Well, they're going to hear it somewhere.
Yeah.
No, God has ordained exactly when, where, and by whom they will hear the message.
Yes, sir.
But it's all boiled down to this, even as what? As the Lord gave to every man. No, so then we ask the question, well then, does God give the men, the ministers, who by whom we believe, does he then give them some special power, and then through their special power, those who hear them believe, but then we give the credit to God. No, because he then says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but
that's right.
God gave the increase.
Amen.
So God's not giving the minister some special ability, though there is a special ability there. But it's not the minister's special ability. That has nothing to do with it. The minister is doing nothing more than declaring the word of God.
Amen. Yes.
That's the ability. Mm-hmm. It's not that the minister is given a special ability to declare the word of God, because some ministers of the word of God have no ability whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There was one named Caiaphas. You remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was the high priest in a specific year. During one of the years of our Lord's earthly ministry.
Yep.
And it said he prophesied not of himself, and I can't quote it, so let me turn back to that. And you can turn to if you want to read along. John chapter 11. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. But then listen to what John adds. Now, I know what Caiaphas meant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Caiaphas means it's a good thing that this Jesus of Nazareth be put to death.
Yeah.
Because he's causing trouble.
Exactly.
And if what he's doing succeeds, because he didn't understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
If what he's doing succeeds, Rome will come and take our place and our nation away.
Yeah.
Even further than, or even more than what they already had. Now that's what he meant. But look at what it says.
Yeah.
And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? He prophesied. So did this man not speak the truth?
Yes, he did.
He spoke the truth. Even though what he meant, God meant something totally different.
Exactly.
But what did God mean? Here's what he meant. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. In other words, this man's death will be a benefit.
Amen.
Right? So you see, it's not that the messenger has some special power or ability, but the ability is only this, to speak the truth when the occasion arises.
Amen.
And that's basically what it boils down to.
Yep.
Again, as I said, there are men who are far more articulate than others. Okay, some men's manners and their ability to preach or to do what I am doing or what Joe was doing, they have this ability, but it's not in the ability.
No.
If anybody believes because of their ability, that belief is null and vain.
Exactly. That's it.
You see. Some men can so speak that they can induce others to believe what they say.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's not God that's caused you to believe the truth,
that's it.
Even believing the truth is of no value.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Even believing the truth is of no value. And that goes back, let me stop and pause and jump to John 6 for just a moment, that what is true believing in Christ? It is to partake of Christ. Remember he said, he that doesn't eat my flesh and drink my blood, that person has no life in them. So it's not just some casual believing. It's not even just believing the facts of the truth. And I'll state it that way now. It's not just receiving or accepting the facts of the truth, but it's partaking of these things. It is to engage in feasting upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to believe on Him. It's to come to Him. But it's to come believingly partaking of who He is.
Yeah.
And in another passage, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He calls it the love of the truth.
Yes.
There's a sense in which believing the truth is not enough. There's a sense in which believing on Jesus is not enough. You can believe on Him from now till the cows come home, but if you don't love Him, that belief is of man, not of God.
Yeah.
Those who believe by a work of God believe Christ.
Yes.
They come to Christ.
Yes.
They feast upon Christ. They love Christ. And therein is the difference. That's the difference. You see, today most people think, well, if you believe, you're saved. Not necessarily. And there are a lot of, well, if you love, you're saved. Not necessarily.
That's right.
You've got to love the truth. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
It does say it. I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. That's got to happen first.
Yes, sir.
But it's also what? Belief of the truth. But it's qualified because the people just preceding that, that who don't believe the truth are also said to what? Not love it. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Amen.
So it's not just, and we men put it this way, it's more than that. It's not just a head knowledge of the truth, but it's a heart love of the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, well, this is what we believe. This is what I believe.
Yeah.
You see? It's not, here's what we believe at chapel. That's appropriate at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're talking about us here at chapel, it's appropriate to talk about what we believe.
Yes, sir.
But if you're talking to someone about yourself, don't talk about what we believe at chapel. That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Talk about what you believe.
Exactly.
But I'm afraid the problem with some folks is it's not what they believe. It is what we believe at chapel. You see, but the question is it what you believe, whether chapel believes it or not?
Yeah, that's it.
You see?
Exactly.
That's the question. So again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes, we believe through men preaching the gospel to us. But do they get any credit? No credit. Why? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gives the increase.
Amen.
Now notice, when they would say, but God gave the increase. Did he get that right? But God gave the increase. Now, another way, and actually, I think it's a little better rendering, but the word increase is not wrong because you get it from the context. But the actual Greek is, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Yeah.
God gave the growth. He's using a horticulture expression, you know, planting, watering, and then this plant comes up, all right?
Yeah.
Who gave the growth?
Yeah.
God gave the growth.
Yes, sir.
One man plants, one man waters, but that's all they do.
Yeah.
They have nothing whatsoever to do with the growth.
Exactly.
Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the growth. That's why God gets all the credit. Now somebody said, well, what about the planting and the watering? I'm jumping ahead a little, but let me tell you something. A man that plants and a man that waters can only do so because God Almighty is sufficient in them. Because look at what he says. Now, is this, well, that's what God did back then. Is here's some work God did back in the future. God gave the increase. That's past tense. Right? That's past. So is this just something that's happened and that we just keep planting and watering and then it'll just kind of, since God done something back yonder, it'll just keep going. Is that what it is? Now notice, no, he doesn't leave it there either. This is not some prior work of God to where then when man then comes along and continues to plant and continues to water, then the plants will continue to come up. No. So then, that's a summary, is it not? The word so then is a summary. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that, notice the change, giveth the increase.
Amen.
So it constantly takes the work of God for there to be any growth.
Amen.
You see?
That's it.
It's not that God has put some special ability in the seed that the planter's planting.
No.
Is it? Uh-uh. It's not that God puts some special ability in the water that the waterer is watering the seed with, right? It is God Almighty that must be constantly, actively engaged in bringing about growth.
Amen.
God gets all the credit because God does all the work.
Amen. That's it.
That's what it boils down to. You see, any positive results in gospel preaching. What do I mean by that? Well, any positive results in gospel preaching, which results in belief and love of the truth.
Yeah.
And I have to emphasize that.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's going around saying, believe, believe, believe. But they're not telling you, one, what to believe.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're not telling you who to believe.
That's exactly right.
And they're not telling you how to believe.
Right.
Now, when I say how to believe, I'm not talking about some method. But I'm talking, you either believe by the work of God Almighty or you believe by human effort.
That's it.
And people who believe by human effort, that means God didn't give that increase.
Amen.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. People who believe by human effort have nothing more than human effort, and it will not stand the test.
That's right. That's right.
But if God gave the increase, if God gave the growth, I don't care who the minister was.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Because God uses truth, but it's still God that does it.
Amen.
You see. So these five verses, encapsulated in these five verses, is a banner that says salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And it defines the truth of salvation is of the Lord. Why is it of the Lord? But because God alone gives the growth.
Amen.
So again, I say that any positive results in gospel preaching, which results in belief and love of the truth, that is to come to Christ, to not just believe on Christ, but as Joe said a couple of times, the past messages he preached, to believe Christ.
Amen.
See, I don't just believe on Him, I must believe Him.
Yes.
That is, I must trust Him. He has done and is doing what He said He would.
Amen.
That what He has done and is doing is enough.
Yes, sir.
I must believe Him.
Yes.
Trust Him. It's not enough to accept the facts of Jesus Christ. It's not enough in that sense just to believe the facts. But one must be enabled by God to wholly cast yourself upon Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
If He hasn't done it and don't do it, it won't get done.
Exactly.
Now, do we always feel that way? Do we always believe that way? Of course not. But if you're unregenerate, you never do.
Exactly.
But if you're regenerate, you would at least sometimes do.
That's right.
You at least sometimes do. So again, any positive results. And what I mean by that is believing the truth, loving the truth, coming to Christ, believing Christ, partaking of Christ, eating His flesh and drinking His blood. What was the word you used to me 3 weeks ago? Probably don't even remember it now, do you? It's to be, it's not it. It is to be consumed with Christ. Just as a hungry person sees the food and eats the food, and we what? We enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
Don't we?
Yes, sir.
We enjoy that. You see, a lot of people seem to be partaking of Christ, but they ain't enjoying it.
Exactly.
Their Christ is not much more than mush.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Their Christ seems not much more than unflavored oatmeal. Now, if you like oatmeal, I'm sorry. If you like the taste of it, that's all right. I'm just using something to illustrate me. I want a little cinnamon or something in that stuff. But as we eat, as a hungry person eats that food and tastes of it and enjoys it, as a thirsty person drinks that cold, icy water and it soothes Joe the thirst and it's enjoyable, that's what it is to believe and love the truth. That's what it means to come to Christ and to believe on Christ. It's not just, well, I got to accept this because that's the facts, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's not eating his flesh. That's not drinking his blood. Let me say, that's not positive results.
Exactly.
It's not positive results. You see, such as this is to believe the truth, love the truth, to come to Christ, to partake of Christ. Such a result is based upon the fact that God Himself is actively engaged in bringing you to do that. That's what verse 7 says. But God that giveth, present tense, and ongoing. You see, it's not just I ate of him one time and now everything's fine. I can set him to the side. We constantly, constantly feed upon Christ. And that's why he says he shall never hunger.
Yeah.
You see, the reason we never hunger is not because there is no ability to hunger. It's because he that is all things to hunger is there, constantly being fed upon. You see, if you're constantly drinking water, you don't really get thirsty.
Yeah, that's right.
Although you're a thirsty person, because the very fact that you're constantly consuming the water indicates what? Thirst.
Yeah.
Right? Do you get what our Lord is saying? He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my, or eat my flesh shall never hunger.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you just eat it one time and I can set Christ to the side now. Mm-hmm. No, it's because we're always, God is always actively engaged in bringing about what? Growth.
Yes, sir.
Growth. And that doesn't just begin with conversion. It continues on through many conversions.
Yes, sir.
Conversion after conversion after conversion. So again, it's based upon the fact that God in verse 7 is actively engaged. And he's actively engaged up on and within individuals. That's verse 5. Even as the Lord gave to every man. It's individual. It's particular. Now, they may believe in groups, but they still believe individually.
Yeah.
Five may believe at one time, but God Almighty was bringing forth growth individually in each and every person.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's it.
And the fact that it is God that must give the increase, the fact that it is God that must give the growth is the reason why we don't all equally grow at the same rate, do we? Why? Because it's God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
And as the preponderant testimony of Scripture is, God giveth the increase at His pleasure. Whether it's initial growth, Mason, or ongoing growth, God gives it at His good time. So again, it is based upon the fact that God is actively engaged up on and within individuals, verse 7 and 5, so that all the glory is God's. Verse 6. Right? But I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave. If you look back, if anything's ever happened that it's been of positive spiritual value, we have to say God gave the increase.
Amen. That's right.
And we give man no credit.
Yeah.
Now that is to be truly spiritual. We give a man any credit and we have become what?
Yeah.
Carnal. See, you don't have to go out and get drunk to be carnal.
No, sir.
Just give a man some credit.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you become carnal.
That's exactly it.
And that's just as filthy in God's sight as the drunkenness.
Yes, sir.
It's a sin.
Exactly.
I'm going to say I'm wondering if it ain't a little bit worse.
Amen, that's right.
Is that actually true? I don't know, but I know this. God's the one that gives the growth. And any credit that we give to anyone else other than God is an insult to God's glory.
Exactly.
Even the planting and the watering done by the ministers of the gospel, their ability and strength is of the Lord.
Amen.
They wouldn't have spoke the truth had God not moved them to speak the truth.
Exactly.
So Paul is also clear that while each minister of the gospel has his particular duty, and all of their gospel efforts will be judged as to how they build and to with what sort they build.
Yes.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
How they build and with what sort they build. They're going to be judged according to that, thus proving the importance and value of the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, the planting and the watering are vital. Some folks think, I don't think we've actually said this. I think me, Joe, Earl, I don't think we've actually said it. But some people think, well, you think planting and watering is of no value. That's not what I said.
No.
I said the men don't matter.
Exactly.
I say the men get no credit.
Amen.
I said the men are not vital.
That's it.
The planting and the watering is vital. And the planting and the watering, the men who are doing it are going to be judged for how they do it and with what they do it.
Yeah.
That's what it says, right?
Yeah.
But yet, who gets the credit?
Amen.
God gets the credit.
Amen.
Because the ability to plant or the ability to water comes from who?
God.
God.
Amen.
God could shut my mouth today
yeah.
if He was pleased to.
Yeah.
And He could open your mouth today if He's pleased to. We might think, but I couldn't do that here. And you know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was said of me, I wasn't ready for this when Earl died.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for this.
Exactly.
But that's not the point. If our sufficiency is of men, that would make a difference.
Exactly.
But as the Apostle Paul is quite clear when he wrote the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can read it later if you want. He said, is it because we're sufficient of ourselves? No. No. He said, our sufficiency is of God.
Amen.
Look at what he says. He says, I'm a wise master builder.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what he said? Verse 10, chapter 3. Look, the second phrase, as a wise master builder. Next phrase, I have laid the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But where does he put the credit at?
Yeah.
Look at the first phrase. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me,
amen.
I'm a wise master builder.
Amen.
You see it? Now, Paul's not going to deny the fact that he's a wise master builder.
No.
But he certainly don't take credit for it.
Amen.
Because he knows where that ability came from.
Yes, sir.
Right? God's grace. According to the grace of God which was given unto me. So again, Paul is clear. I'll read it again. Paul is clear that while each minister of the gospel has his particular duty, and all of their gospel efforts will be judged as to how they build and to what sort they build with, thus proving the importance and value of the work, nevertheless, all credit and all ownership goes to God when it comes to growth.
Amen.
All of it.
Exactly.
And it's not just us being nice to God.
No.
And letting Him have all the credit.
Amen.
He gets all the credit because He provides everything.
Amen. That's right.
Even the ability to plant and the ability to water.
Yeah.
God gave that ability
yeah.
as well.
Exactly.
And I says, y'all always saying that. Yeah, that's what we're always saying. It's just what we're constantly trying to affirm amongst us. Salvation. I need me a board now, don't I? So I can write on it like everybody else does. Salvation is of. That one word, of. If it said by, it would have left us a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
If it had said through, left us a lot of leeway. We could have went a lot of ways, couldn't we, Mason?
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you, it don't let's take one for the scriptures replete. But yet even in that one phrase, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Bible doesn't exaggerate.
Exactly.
See, it's not God does 95%, we do 5, and since God did the most, He gets the credit.
No,
it's God did 100% of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why God gets 100% of the credit.
Amen.
You know, John Wesley was completely wrong. And I may have the percentage right, but he give it like 97, 98%, 99%.
Yeah.
Salvation's of God. Faith is our 1%. No, sir. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every... What? However much belief you got, God gave it to you.
Amen.
You ought to thank God for it. Now, if you want more, pray for more. But you better thank God for what you got.
Yes, sir.
No matter how small it seems. Because if you got it and it's real, God gave it to you.
Amen.
And if you ain't for sure if God gave it to you or not, you better make your calling and election sure. That's about all I can say
That's right.
about that one. other than to refer back to this. Remember, it's not just believing the facts. It's not just believing the truth. Mm-hmm. It's loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you really love it, then you're going to what? You're going to consume it. I wish I could get that word. You're just totally caught up with it. You know? It's not that other things don't matter, but they are nothing compared to that.
Exactly.
You see? See, it's not that this or that thing don't matter, but compared to this, compared to the feasting upon the person and work of Christ, nothing else matters.
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, but you got to go to church. No, you'll want to go to church.
That's right. That's it.
The fact that some people don't have the want to is their problem.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to church to be saved. Oh, really? Okay. What do you say? You don't have to go to church to be righteous. You don't have to go to church to be justified. You don't have to go to church to have your sins forgiven. Don't you want to meet with the family?
Exactly.
Don't you love your family? Mm-hmm. Don't you love the Lord of the family? Don't you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, yeah, I do. Then why don't you want to be with them?
Yeah.
Why don't you want to be with them? If you love something, you consume it. You're caught up with it. You're overtaken by it. Enamored. I think that's the word you used, wasn't it? Was that the word? Sounds familiar. Maybe it was. I think maybe that was the word. Thank you, Joe. Maybe that was it. It was close to that.
Okay.
It was a synonym. Was a synonym or it means the same thing, whatever it was. Say it again. I done lost it that quick. Enamored. That's a good one. To be enamored with Christ.
Yeah.
Right? But remember, not just any old Christ.
That's it.
But the truth. He said, the truth. So again, we must say there is importance, there is value to the work of planting and watering.
Yes, sir.
But the planter and the waterer are not anything.
Exactly. That's it.
They're not anything. Even though they're going to be judged.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be judged for themselves.
No.
They'll be judged for what? How they build and what they build.
Yep.
And this is not just the everyday judgment of the preachers. This is the judgment of everyone that's ever expressed the truth of Jesus Christ to an unbeliever, to someone else. We're going to be judged as to what we said and how we said it. And notice, it didn't say this. If it was just what I said, I could write it all out. Now, I still couldn't be sure, but I could write it all out, David. And I could just quote Scripture, and that way I'd know I was always right. But it's not just what you build with, it's how you build as well.
Yes, sir.
So you can tell a man the truth, but if you've got the wrong attitude,
Oh, yeah.
It may be displeasing to God.
You're right.
You know? If your attitude is, I remember Earl saying this one time, boy, I'm going to tell you how it is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, have you ever done that? And I said, I thought, man, he knew what I said yesterday. And I didn't even talk to him. But that's what I told somebody the truth. But you know what I did? I did it with that attitude. I'm going to tell you, Buster.
Yeah.
See, it's not a matter of I'm going to tell you, Buster. It's a matter of here's the glory of my God. Here is Jesus Christ, His person and His work. And Mason, that we ought to always have a positive attitude with that.
Yes, sir.
But we don't.
Exactly.
Sadly, we don't. But this is why laborers will be judged for not only what they build with, but how they build.
Yeah.
And remember, we're building on the foundation that's already laid. You and I are not laying the foundation.
Exactly.
I know we may speak of a sense in which, you know, you or I was the first one to tell this or that person or group of people the truth. And we may say we built the foundation, but we haven't laid the foundation.
No, sir.
The foundation is laid. All we can do now is build upon it.
Amen.
That's what Paul said, didn't he? According to the grace of God which was given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in that truest sense, we are not laying the foundation.
Exactly.
At best, we can water. The seed's already been planted,
yeah.
You might say. We can come along and water. The foundation is not being laid. We're just building upon that foundation.
Exactly.
So that's, again, I say, it proves the value of the work. Nevertheless, all the credit and all the ownership goes to God. Now, let me get to this one verse here. And it is verse 9. Now let me just read that first. Four. That sounds like another conclusion, right?
Yeah.
Four. Well, let's read from 5 to get the context. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So again, the labor is important.
Yeah.
The people are not.
Exactly.
But the people are going to be judged for the labor.
Yeah.
Because the people are actively engaged in this labor.
Exactly.
And when Paul said, I planted, Mason, that was work. That was effort. Apollos watered. That was work. That's effort.
Yes,
and let me tell you, if God's ever given you the opportunity and then the ability to speak to someone concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, when it's over with, you're wore out.
Yeah,
you're tired.
Exactly.
Because it's like a brick wall you're banging up against, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are, in the sense of another passage, sowing seed, you know some of it's falling on rocks.
That's exactly right.
And on pathways. It's a labor. Look, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Well, right there, finally, Paul just says, well, you know, we're all in this together. Is that what Paul said? No, that ain't what Paul said.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at it. For we are laborers together with God. Notice what he says then. Ye are God's husband.
Amen.
Why did he not say ye are our husbandry?
Exactly.
Why? Because you're not our husbandry.
That's exactly it.
Amen. Now I'm going to say something. This is a mistranslation in the King James Version. It can be read according to the truth because the truth is there expressed. But when it says we are laborers together with God, let me give you this. The width of verse 9. Is not to be, if we're going to leave it there, the width of verse 9 is not to be considered as symbiotic.
Yeah.
You know what symbiotic is? That means codependent.
Yes. Right.
Codependent. Symbiotic, you got, I've seen this on the TV one time, and there are these trees down in like Brazil or something, and then there are these plants that grow on these trees, but the tree provides something for the plant, to help it, but then the plant provides something for the tree to grow, and the tree provides something for the plant. They have a symbiotic relationship. They're codependent.
Yeah.
One would not exist as it is without the other.
Yeah.
But again, the width of verse 9 is not to be considered as symbiotic, that is codependent or co-equal.
Exactly.
In other words, God's doing his part, now we're doing our part. That's the way most people interpret that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And they'll go through all the, but God gave the increase, but God giveth the increase, even as the Lord gave to every man. But after all, we're working together with God. That's not what Paul wrote. Now, here's what Paul wrote in the Greek. And this is, I'll even use, and usually I try to use it because the enemy oftentimes uses it. I will use the received text. That is the Greek, not the we don't have time this morning for a lesson in that, but there are many Greek texts, okay? In some places, they slightly disagree in some words. But here, this verse, there is no doubt as to what this verse said, okay? All of the little pieces and manuscripts and larger ones and books and then whole books, when it comes to this verse, there is no disagreement at all. Here's what Paul wrote. Word for word in the Greek, but I will give it to you in English. For God's, we are fellow workers. God's husbandry, God's building, ye are.
Amen.
Now, when they put that with in there, together with, we're not working together with God. We're working together. He that plants and he that watereth are one.
Yeah.
It's not three laborers here, it's two laborers. Who are God's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's referring back to what he's already said, even as the Lord gave to every man, and referring forward, our sufficiency is of God.
Yes, sir.
You see. Now, talking about three laborers, he's talking about two laborers, and they belong to God. And since God gives the increase, that makes you God's husbandry, since it's God that builds the building. God gets all the credit because God's doing the actual work when it comes to growth, when it comes to the building being built. That's why you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. You're not our husbandry. If I have 1% to do with it, I could say you're my husbandry along with God's.
Yep.
Could I not?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Now, I would be wrong. I would lie against God if I said I got 2%.
Yeah.
But if I got 1%, of effort, and it depends on me. And God depends on me for my 1%, Matt, then I have the right to boast in that 1%.
Yes, sir.
But the fact is, God does 100% of it.
Amen.
And he says, and here's the way you put it to make it flow in proper English, for God's fellow workers, we are. God's husbandry, God's building, ye are. You see? That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's taught here. Now, if you want to, we are laborers together with God. What? With God as our sufficiency.
Yeah.
Not as with God as that we're co-equal with God.
No.
You see? Because even if it is 99% to 1%, God would still be dependent upon us.
Yeah.
You see, God ain't dependent upon us.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I got to preach. No, you don't. Somebody will preach, but I don't have to.
That's right.
Exactly.
And let me just put it this way. Those that God's ordained to preach, to tell the truth, they will.
Amen.
Yeah.
We done looked at one case, case in point. Caiaphas spoke the truth, did he mean to?
Exactly.
Did he?
Yeah.
And what Caiaphas meant, the Holy Ghost revealed to us through John, I mean something totally different.
That's exactly
right?
Right?
No, for God's, we are fellow workers. God's husbandry. God's building ye are. God gets all the credit because God's doing 100% of it.
Amen.
You see, God has ordained planting and God has ordained watering. And we best not forget that.
Exactly.
It is vital. Yeah. It is important. And any person who's ever tried to build on that foundation, okay? Any person who's ever planted a seed or come along, tried to water the seed, you and I will be judged for that. As to how we did it and what we did with it. You know, what we were doing when we did it. What we did it with and how we did it.
Yep.
We're going to be judged. So again, I say God has ordained the planting and the watering, but he's equally ordained the planter and the waterer. See, it's not just, well, planting and watering has got to take place, and now it's up to man to get the planting and the watering done.
Mm-hmm.
No, God's ordained planting and watering, and he's ordained planter and waterer.
Yes, sir.
And he's done it concerning all their planting. That is, he's ordained it. He's foreordained it. He's predestinated it concerning all their planting and all their watering. Now, planting and watering are vital. And Paul says, I'm a wise, or we knew the other illustration, I'm a wise, you know, building a building. It's vital, right? This building, Mason, must be built, but it will be built. Because God Almighty's building the building. But Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. But it's according to what? It's according to the grace of God that was given unto me. This is, God is the sufficient one, not me. But here's the thing. Paul, God would not let Paul build everywhere. Or just anywhere.
Exactly.
Or where he wanted to.
Exactly.
Now, he gave the command, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, but then he wouldn't let Paul do that.
Yeah.
Now, that's a fact.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a fact. Paul essayed to go to two places.
Yep.
One of them is mentioned in Acts, well, both of them is mentioned in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Paul thought, I'm going here. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not.
That's right.
He forbid Paul to go.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So see, everything, the planting, the watering, the planter, and the waterer, and everything concerning their planting and watering is ordained of God.
Yeah.
Like Jonah, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah was going to Nineveh.
That's exactly right.
And if God forbid Paul to go to these other two places, you mark it down, he's not going to go.
Exactly.
He may try, but he ain't going to make it.
Yep.
Just like when Jonah tried not to go, but he made it.
He made it.
He made it.
Yes, sir.
Moreover, God has ordained every sprout that grows.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's ordained every sprout that grows. Every growth that arises on his farm, he ordained it to arise.
Yes, sir.
I want you to think about this. I've already mentioned Paul. Here is Paul. He wants to go to these two places, and it says the Spirit forbid him to go. But it says there's another place you must go.
Yeah.
Another place you're going is called Corinth.
Yep.
Paul wasn't planning on going to Corinth. Paul was going, wanted to go to these other two places.
Yep.
And God said no. So he ends up going to Corinth. And when he gets there, he becomes afraid.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because these people are not responsive to what he's got to say, to the seed he's got to plant.
Yeah.
But what does God tell him? Don't be afraid, Paul.
Yeah.
I got a lot of sprouts in this city.
That's right.
He said, I got much people. And even much, they were already God's people before Paul ever got there. And even after he was there, before he started actively engaging in this open preaching, God said, Paul, it'll be all right. Why? Because there's some sprouts on this farm that's got to come up, and they're going to come up.
Amen.
Even with all the opposition Paul faced at Corinth, Mason, God was bringing up every sprout on his farm.
Yes, sir.
In the city of Corinth.
Exactly.
The foundation was laid, and it was being built upon. And what does he do? Ends up writing two whole epistles, two letters, to that self-same place.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Self-same place. Remember, Judas was sent to preach the gospel just as equally as the 11 were.
Amen.
And by all indications, he did so well at it that they never suspected him to be shy of it.
Exactly.
Did they? I mean, they never, when our Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. Well, I remember Judas. He's a little hesitant. I remember Judas. He didn't seem to quite have the power over the spirits like we did. Somebody says, explain how that could be so. Because God Almighty ordains planters and waterers at his good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
He's not dependent upon the planters and the waterers. He ordains the planters, the waterers, the planting, and the watering, and all that consists of planting and watering.
Yes, sir.
Jonah. We know the account of Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. He was going to Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
He just took the long route.
Exactly.
You know? Now, he thought in his mind, he was fleeing from God. But did he? No, he ran into God.
Exactly.
Didn't he? In his mind, it says, it gives us the phrasing, but it's from Jonah's perspective. And Jonah fled from the face. He didn't fly. He fled from the face of the Lord. But did he really? No, he fled into the face of the Lord, didn't he? God was already out there in that water, waiting on that boat to come around. God was already there.
Exactly.
You know, he was there. And here's another one. What about old Balaam?
Yeah.
What about old Balaam? Now, Balaam is included as a rank apostate in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's given as an actual example of apostasy.
Yes, sir.
Yet Balaam preached the truth.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, Balaam preached more truth than what most Baptist preachers preach today.
Yes, sir. Exactly. That's it.
And these people, these Israelites, were coming through the land, passing by Moab, just on one side of the river there, it says. And Balak, who was the king of Moab at that time, said, these folks are going to walk all over us.
Yep.
Look at this multitude of people. I got to find somebody to help me out here.
Yep.
And put a curse on these people. So he went to speak to Balaam, who was said to be a what?
A
a prophet. And you know who he said, you know who Balaam's own words, who he was a prophet of? Yahweh.
Yep.
Balaam said, here, look at the presents. Look at the gifts. You curse these people for me, and I'll give all of this to you. And you know what Balaam said? The only thing I can do is what God Almighty says I can say. Or the only thing I can say is what God Almighty ordains for me to say. I'll go inquire of the Lord. And notice when he says it, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
Yeah.
Yahweh, the God of these people.
Yeah.
Yahweh. And he went and inquired of the Lord. And God said, you can't curse them. You know why? Because I blessed them. So what did Balaam do? He blessed them.
Yeah.
Now what do you think Balak then did? Yeah. He blessed out Balaam.
Yeah. That's right.
I hired you to curse these people. You come along and pronounce a blessing on them. I'll give you more stuff.
Yeah.
That's what happened. I'll give you more stuff. And then whatever's lacking, you just ask me and I'll give you the rest of it. Just curse them for me. Balaam said, man, that looks good. Now, he didn't say he said that, but he did.
Uh-huh.
So we found out the more Balak offered, the more enticed he was.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at those further gifts and promises. I can't say just whatever the Lord says for me to say. And he come up with this one phrase. Now, there's a lot he said, but it's in, what is it, Numbers? I think I wrote down here, chapter 23. I hope I did. I don't have to turn every page to find it. Numbers chapter, he said this one phrase among several things. This was what Balaam is saying about, this is what Balaam is saying about God. He, that's God, Jehovah, Yahweh. I like the Yahweh better, because it's not Jehovah. It says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel.
Yeah.
Do you understand what a statement of grace that
sir.
Is? What, these people?
Yeah.
The God who sees all has not beheld iniquity in them. Why? Because he purposed not to.
That's right. Exactly.
Because in grace he chose not to.
Exactly.
That's why. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So Balaam again does what? Blesses these people.
Yep.
Now, can you not see just a little thing going on here? Who's in charge here?
Exactly.
God is in charge here.
Yes, sir.
Now, God does give us a little insight. The man's not just a robot. Balaam's not just walking around doing, okay, whatever the Lord says I'll do, whatever the Lord says do, I'll do, whatever he says say, I'll say. We find out Balak has not give up yet.
Yeah.
You know why? His life's on the line. These people overtake him. What are they going to do to him? He's heard the news. They're going to wipe me out.
Yep.
So finally, Balaam goes back to God and says, God, he done prophesied blessing to them twice, Mason.
Yeah.
Twice. He said, Lord, can I do it? Is it possible that I can get these things? And God said, if they come and inquire of you to go with them a third time, if they do,
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
That's what God told him.
Yes, sir.
If they come to inquire. Now, he didn't tell him what to say, David.
Uh-huh.
He said, if they come to inquire of you this third time, you go with them. What's the next verse say? Immediately that morning, he saddled up his ass and he took out.
That's it.
He did not obey the voice of the Lord, did he?
Exactly.
God said, if they come after you, go with them. He didn't wait till they come.
Yeah.
Mason, he lit out.
Yeah.
He took that as license.
Yeah.
God didn't give him license. God told him exactly what to do. Balaam didn't do it. Now, but did Balaam do anything other than what God Almighty had sovereignly purposed to do? Uh-uh. But you know the story, don't you? Balaam's on that ass, and he's chugging along, and all of a sudden the road narrows. Well, there's a wall on either side. And Balaam's slowing down now on that ass. And the next thing you know, there is standing in front of that ass an angel of the Lord with his sword drawn.
Yeah.
But Balaam can't see the angel. But what?
Yeah.
The ass could.
Yeah.
And this is generally the way it is. Prophets don't see the truth of God, but asses do.
There you go.
And you best hope you're God's ass.
Exactly.
And not a prophet like Balaam.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's just a fact. Because it's those who see the truth that obey the truth.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, you know the story? That donkey went to kicking.
Mm-hmm.
And it crushed Balaam. You know it bounced around? It says it crushed his foot against the wall. I mean, he didn't scar up his ankle, Mason. It crushed Balaam's foot. And Balaam is beating this ass for all he's worth. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, what happens?
Yeah.
The ass speaks.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And as the New Testament puts, forbade the madness of the prophet.
Yeah.
And basically, the ass saved Balaam's life. Because had Balaam continued on, God said, I would have killed you and saved the ass.
That's right.
Hmm? Now, do you think God wasn't in control of all that?
That's exactly right.
God was showing to Balaam exactly who he was.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bless who I bless, and I'll curse who I'm pleased to curse.
Yep.
He was showing Balaam the truth of Balaam's own words.
Exactly.
Huh? So what's Balaam do? He still can't curse the people.
That's right.
But he does ultimately teach Balak to cause the people to engage in things they should not.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the facts here?
Yeah.
See, the point is you have all that. Paul, Judas, Jonah, Balaam, Caiaphas, a dumb ass.
That's right.
All of them spoke the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's the point now we got to get back to. All of them, by God Almighty's power, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. He turneth it whithersoever he will. All men's hearts are in the Lord's hand.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If truth is spoken, God Almighty can use that truth and does use that truth to his own honor and his own glory.
Amen.
The point is, it's not the planter and the waterer,
exactly,
is it? See, that's the whole point. It's the planting and the watering. It's not the planter and the waterer. See, if ordained to arise, a sprout will arise.
Yes, sir.
In any and all preceding or accompanying, planting and watering is as sure as the sprout itself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If God's purposed a sprout to come up, that sprout's going to be there's going to be some planting and there's going to be some watering. If God's purpose for a person to be a part of God's building, he's going to cause them to be built in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the prophet Isaiah, you know this passage, Isaiah 55. This is nothing new. Let me just turn back there and read that. Isaiah 55. We'll begin in verse 8. And it's late. I've kept you all late. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Is that not what I've just preached upon?
Exactly.
You know? That God can even take a planter in the water, but he gets all the credit because he's the one that gives all the ability.
Yes, sir.
If there's any kind of increase, God gave it.
Amen.
And God is giving it.
Yes, sir.
Now look, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and notice what it says, and maketh it to bring forth and bud.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whether it's to bring forth a sprout and to save it forever, or whether it is to be allowed that a tare grows up.
Yes, sir.
It looks just like the sprout when it first comes up.
Yes, sir.
Hard, impossible to tell the difference that early.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it says, doesn't it? Yeah. And that sprout just grows and it grows and it grows, and what in the end? God Almighty says, all right, now I'm going to separate the tares from the wheat.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? You see, here's the point. When we speak of Christ, we begin to talk about Christ's person and work. It becomes frustrating. You see somebody make a profession. And I'm speaking this from experience. You see somebody make a profession, you baptize somebody.
Yeah.
They join the church. You know what I mean? And then you see things happen and you think, boy, my work was that vain? Even Paul felt that way, remember? About the Galatians? But see, Paul come right back to what he said. And what he said, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, there are people in this world God is pleased to damn through the preaching of the gospel.
You're right.
And there are people that God is pleased to save through the preaching of the gospel. And both will be to His glory. Therefore, God is being honored even if I'm not.
Yeah.
Even if it seems like, well, you see, I don't want any part to the damnation side, David.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are people that come to this place, I care about them. I may not look that way. My face may not look that way. I may not talk that way. I ain't saying that's right. I'm just saying, but as God is my witness, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they might be saved. But when it boils all down to it, it is God that must give the increase.
Amen.
It is out of my hands.
Yes, sir.
You see, I may be responsible to plant or to water, to build or build on. All of those things. We have responsibilities. But God Almighty gives the increase.
Amen.
So that when that field of wheat or whatever, when that field stands or that great glorious building stands, all the credit and ownership goes to God.
That's it.
As Paul just had told him, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know what he said? Father, I pray that these stammering words, not through my ability, but through Your own purpose, and free and sovereign grace, may be of benefit to us. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. And I apologize for keeping. I didn't know it was...